Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Today we're going to be learning about the topic of Nisan, the month of beginnings. This is a great opportunity of learning. I want to just start off by thanking those who are sponsoring this morning. We are thankful to Dr. Shalom and Laurie Huberfeld who are sponsoring for the yard site, which was just yesterday, of Rabbi Pinchas ben Moshe Aaron, Mr. Pinchas Huberfeld. And as we roll into the second yard site, Baruch Hashem, there is a namesake just as of last week, to continue the illustrious dynasty, Mitzvah Hashem, that he should fill the shoes and in his own unique way, Mitzvah Hashem. Tremendous nachas. Also, I want to thank the Kelners who are sponsoring the Nishmas Rivka Bas Moshe Halevi and Moshe Ben Avram Eliezer, Mrs. Marilyn Goshberg's in-laws, whose yard sites are this Monday and Tuesday incoming. And Mitzvah Hashem, as they witness their group today and tomorrow, I apologize, going these 2 days, it's a shame that as they witness from a better place, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, how they develop, it's a shame, they should have tremendous nachas. We'd like to also thank Dr. Yossi and Judy Simpson, who are sponsoring Lele Nishmas Chayasara Bas, Rav Shmuel Halevi, whose yortzad is boy by Yom Rat today, and no doubt Baruch Hashem, seeing all the simchas in this last year, it's a shame that she too sees continued nachas and should continue v'chein yirbe as the family continues to expand. And also, we are learning today Leila Nishmas Rus Bas Binyamin, Dr. David Levy's mother, whose yard site is this week, and also Leila Rafua Shlema Mitzvah Hashem. It should be only good tidings from now on inwards. So let's learn. Last week we started looking at the first pasuk of HaChodesh HaZelachem. We read that it was literally yesterday. That was Shabbos HaChodesh. But we've just started Nisan, so now's the perfect time to actually appreciate Nisan. We're told the following. The Torah starts off by telling us, HaChodesh HaZelachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Hu Lachem, L'Chodesh HaShana. We saw last week that there are two mitzvahs which are included. Mitzvah number one is that we're in control of time, that Rosh Chodesh is in our hands. Fantastic. We learned a little bit about some of the ideas behind that. That was last week. This week, let's actually get into the kishkas of Nisan itself. There's a second mitzvah in this pasuk, which is Rishon Hu Lachem Lechodshei Hashanah. It's the first of all the months of the year. Fantastic. So now we need to take a step backwards. Why is this necessary? Meaning to say, let's say the Torah had not included this. Let's say the Torah had said, okay, you're in charge of time, you're in charge of Rosh Chodesh. Fantastic. Wonderful. Then the Torah goes on to say, you need to bring a Korban Pesach. Great, we get that. And let's say it left that out. Would we have been troubled? Would we have been missing something in our theology? We would not be able to understand Pesach. We wouldn't be able to leave Yetzias Mitzrayim if we didn't know that Nisan was the first of all the months. Was that really necessary? Meaning to say, let's think about this for a second. Time, in a certain sense, is the framework of reality, right? It's time and space are the two frameworks within which existence occurs. It's a differentiator. It separates me from different spaces and places where time is sort of the differentiator. But let's think about this for a moment. Does it really make a difference what I call it, where I started, like where I draw that line in the sand? Really? Meaning to say, the moon is going to be on a cycle. The moon keeps going round, right? So it goes through the night sky, and there are 12 constellations. I understand that. Does it really make a difference where I put the peg into that spectrum? Does it really make a difference that I need to know that this was the beginning, this was the second, the third, the fourth? Not really, right? I can still manage just fine being able to know when time happens as time goes. Like, I remember there was an interview a little while back. Tom Hanks turned 60, so I remember he was interviewed in one of these TV shows, and they said to him, you know, Tom, how did you do it? And so he said, just wait. Like, I mean, it goes on, time keeps going, right? So whether we say this is the first, this is the second, does it really make a difference? But also, it's interesting. If the Torah thinks that this first month is so important, then at least call it something, right? It doesn't call it. It's Rishon Ulachem. At least say something. Call it February. Call it Nisan. Do something. But there's nothing, right? It's going to be for you. So why, if it's so important, doesn't even have a name? So you're putting this arbitrary, artificial marker into the time schedule, and we don't even give it a name. More than that, what happened beforehand? So was it just before and they just sort of waited, you know, they just sort of, you know, went through and they counted birthdays in a different way on the sun calendar? What was beforehand that this was so important? So these are obviously basic questions. Let's try to appreciate it. Now, we're going to go through essentially today five ideas, five very different ideas. You may say actually four and a half ideas after we finish. Okay, so I want you to see which one can collapse into the other. But as we go through this, very different ideas. Some in Halacha, some in Machshava, some in Kabbalah. Very different ideas that we'll be learning today. We're going to start off at an even cadence. So this is going to be all manageable. This is all something we can all get. But we're going to try to increase the intensity as we go a little further, to really dig a little further into this. So start at the beginning. This is a very famous idea, which is illustrated in the Ramban. Nachmanides is one of the most famous Rambans on the Torah. In fact, is this one. And we've heard it many times, but sometimes if you hear it, you don't appreciate it until you actually learn it, and you see the complexity to his idea. So it's not just as you've heard it, it's actually a little more sophisticated. Here's how the Ramban deals with this idea of why this is a necessary component of Geula. Why is Nisan so important to us? Here's how he starts on page 2. B'tam ha'chodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodeshim. Why is that Nisan is the first of the months? She'yimnu oisoi Yisrael chodesh rishon u'mimenu Yomeinu kol hachadoshim, excuse me, umimenu yimnu kol hachadoshim sheni v'shlishi ad she'etishlom tashlum hashona b'shnei masor chodesh. So we need to count from it, so specifically it does not have a name. So we're going to be counting from Nisan, and every month is going to be first month, second month, third month from it. It's the reference point. Why? What's the whole point of this business? Kedei she'yiye ze zichron b'neis hagadol ki b'chol eis she'nazkir hachadoshim. Yeah, Hanes Niskar. Why? So we should remember the miracle. So you're writing a check, right? It comes time to pay mortgage, you're writing a check, and how you date it? You date it the third month. So your landlord says to you, "What third month of what?" And you said, "Oh, well, in Nisan we were redeemed." Meaning to say, perforce, you're automatically always going to be talking about, when you're just writing the check to the electrician, you're going to be talking about Geula by the fact that the months are labeled in a time sequence from its rhyme. Oh, good. So that he gets that in a second. But okay, Ein lachadoshim shem b'Torah. That's why the Torah moves away from any specific naming of the months. Elo sheyomar b'chodesh hashlishi v'omar vayhi b'shana hashenis b'chodesh hasheni na'aleh hanan u'v'chodesh hashvi b'chod lachodesh u'goymer b'chein kulam. So it gives you three examples where the Torah uses the numbers of the months rather than the names of the month. Why? Because it's all dating back to Nisan. This, by the way, links to perhaps the most famous Ramban in all of the Torah, which goes back to the end of Parshas Bo. What does the Ramban say there? The Ramban asks a basic question, and he says, why is it that Hashem doesn't just, you have all these people who say, if God would just show me a sign, God would just do a little miracle, it doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be that everybody has to see it, but just a little bit of a miracle to show that everything's going all right, that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm believing in the right system of theology, that would just make my day, and from then onwards I'd be a good Jew, and everything would be fine. So Ramban says, who are you? Hashem doesn't just orchestrate miracles when you want to, the sea splits when you need to get there. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this once. And he pulled away the curtain, he showed everybody who he was unequivocally. And in order for us to be able to remember that, he made sure that everything we talk about is in reference to that. So therefore, that's why everything is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We talk about tzitzis and tefillin, tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah. There's so many times Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned. And in fact, that's why it is Kiddush on Friday nights. We talk about Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, all these different mitzvahs which are referencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why on a daily basis, even at night time, as we reference in the Haggadah, we say Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because we're referencing that point where we all know it happens. There's no debate as to what exactly happened. In history today, there's so many debates as to what really occurred, if you think about it. Thinking back to different, wars. What started certain wars? There's debates still today, and this is in living history, right? We all agree that there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all were there. We all, our great, 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 great ancestors were there. They all told us the same story. We reference that everything we do. Why? Because that reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does run the system. Therefore, even when he isn't doing it, particularly for us, we can still see through the lattice work that maybe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Says the Ramban, it's our time frame of reference as well is actually also automatically going back to True North, which is that moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the curtains we saw. That's the way we look at the months. Brilliant, brilliant idea. This is sort of our framework. At this point in time in the Ramban, so we have to ask ourselves, wait a second, but we don't do that today, right? I don't know about anybody else, but nobody uses those names anymore, so what happened? We have to think about that as we go through the Ramban. He's going to address that in just a moment. So referencing Barry's point, Dr. Cohen just mentioned in the next thing, Ukomoisha Tihia Hazakhira, in the next paragraph, Hashabas, Be Ma Noisenu Mimenu Echad Shabbos, Sheni Shabbos Kashera Foresh, Ke Kach Yizkira Biyatsias Mitzrayim, Be Ma Noisenu, Lachodesh Rishon, Lachodesh Sheni Vashlish Gula Seinu. So therefore he says, that's why it is that we count the days of the week are really supposed to be Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, right? Today is the first day of the Shabbos of the week. So meaning to say, Shalavim, this is the Shir that the Levim would sing in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Now, it doesn't mean to say that they didn't have an imagination. They couldn't, like, think up any days, you know, Tuesdays, Thursdays. By the way, whoever did the Thursday, you should have done another letter, right? It's always a problem. It's always a problem to, you know, in all academic calendars, you have this issue. How do you label Thursday? Because the T has already been taken. Right, but, you know, is it a U? Is it a TH? But nonetheless, you know, the Chazal, you know, the Torah didn't have any sense of imagination. It couldn't give you a name for the day of the week. The answer is no, because it didn't need to, because it's all referencing back to or forward to, depending which way you want to count, to Shabbos. Meaning to say that whenever you are in the week, and then somebody says, you know, happy Yom Shlishi to you, you're like, yes, it's through Yom Shlishi to Shabbos. Shabbos is coming. Meaning to say, my entire frame of reference is Shabbos. I am a Shabbos-oriented Jew. That's how it works. So I am a Geula-oriented Jew. I am thinking always about Nisan. Why? Because I'm always saying, today it's now Chodesh Yud Aleph. It's the 11th month. By the way, I just saw a fascinating thing on the way in this morning. That is that actually Aviv, which was supposed to preserve the spring in the Northern Hemisphere, in relationship to Nisan, Aviv, I just saw very fascinatingly, is actually related to the word. The Binas Moshe says that it's a contraction of the word Av, Yud Beis, the father of the Yud Beis, the father of the 12. So it's sort of the reference point of the rest of it. So Aviv fits into that very just a fascinating remez, which he suggested. Now, okay, that's true. Now he asks a question. So what happened beforehand? So what were they doing? How were they checking off their calendars beforehand? The next line the Ramban says, by the comma, Sharei Tchilas Shana Sena Mitishrei. Really, technically speaking, our frame of reference should have been Tishrei. Why? Tichsev V'chag Ha'asif T'kufas HaShana. Now, I would have said because we know that that was when the year was created, but he says no. The Torah says that the Chag Ha'asif, the gathering season, is the T'kufas HaShana, the end of the year. Why? Why is Tishrei the beginning or the end of the year? Because agriculturally. Meaning, right, this is the end, that's the end of the year, right? The fiscal year probably follows that, right? Uksiv, but says Hashanah, the end of the year. Imken, kishenikra, lachodesh nisan rishon, alitishay shvii, pisroinoi rishon legu'ula vishvii eileha. So therefore, what the Torah is doing is it's shifting what would have been known to everybody else because of the time they would bring the bundles of agriculture in from the field, and it would be in the end of that year before they start planting the new year. That's how they used to be. So what we're doing is we're doing something very unnatural over here. Now in the middle, the crops are just coming out. The barley is just coming into season. It's not the time to sort of hang up your sickles and sort of kick back and drink your pink lemonade on the deck chair. This is the middle of the year. The point is the Torah is saying, no, now it's the beginning of the year because our frame of reference isn't about physical accomplishment, but spiritual beginnings. That's what's happening over here. So that was what the shift happened between then and before and after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Skipping to the next paragraph. And now he makes an argument. It's an unbelievably fascinating argument. He says, Ukvar hiskiru rabosenu ze ha'inyan. This is the next paragraph. He says, now, our rabbis already referenced this. V'amru shemos chadashim alu imenu mi bavel. So he quotes the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi says that that's why it is that we don't do it today. Because our Chachomenu said that once we left Bavel, we left Babylon after the second, after the destruction of the first temple, and we were going back to Eretz Israel, we took the names with us. We didn't have names. We're referencing back to Exodus. He references the Pasuk, Yirmiyahu prophesies to the Jewish people, V'lo yomar od chai Hashem asher helo es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ki'im chai Hashem asher helo v'asher hevi es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz tzofoin. That Yirmiyahu prophesies that no longer will you be counting back to Exodus from Egypt, you'll be counting back from Exodus from the Northern Kingdom, which is understood to mean, at least in this particular frame of reference, is Babylon or Persia. Chazarnu likra chodoshim b'shem shenikraim be'eretz bavel lahazkir kishem shamim amadnu umishom he'elanu Hashem yisbarach. To reference that we left there as well, and that's why he points out that the only time you ever see the words Nisan Adar appear are in the later Esther, where you start seeing the Persian and the Babylonian names. Actually, it's Babylonian names, not the Persian names. Very, very fascinating. So in a certain sense, what the Ramban is saying is that there is a sort of a repeated pattern here. Just like when we left Egypt, we have the frame of reference to that Exodus. Now the frame of reference is to the Babylonian Exodus, and that's what we took with us as a memory of how powerful that was. That's a very, very remarkable statement on so many levels. Because you would think that maybe that's perhaps the opposite. Yeah, it's not like we're referencing the Geula, we're referencing the Golos. Do you notice that? Meaning, when it comes to HaChodesh Rishon, Chodesh Sheni, Chodesh Shlishi, I get it. I'm referencing what? I'm not referencing Egypt. I'm referencing our leaving Egypt, right? When I'm using Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, right? When I'm using those names, I'm actually using their calendar. It sounds more like an assimilation rather than a redemption. If you think about the actual, what's happening over here. The pattern overall seems to be the same. But moreover, it sounds like what the Ramban is saying, and this is a shocking thing, is, so what happened to the pasuk of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Right, Hashem says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Well, we've got different plans. Right, so how does that work? We decided that we make an amendment, a little asterisk next to the pasuk. We like, you know, Hashem, we how does that work?
To strengthen your question, the Gemara says, we never
left, right? So I mean, it's like when we came back to the land of Israel, now our minute province called Judea, we were still paying taxes to the Persians. So it's all very nice to have our own calendar. It's but first of all, it's not our own calendar. Number two, it seems to be contravening the Torah.
Tell you exactly that. If the MS. You would have renamed the months. We would have renamed the months after whatever that date was, but we didn't.
Oh,
so
good.
What we're doing is it's
regression as opposed to progression.
This is not a redemption. And remind us.
Fantastic. Good. So this seems to be this is a very powerful idea. You see, sometimes I don't know. Perhaps the way I was educated or miseducated is we sort of think about bias Rishon and bias Sheni. We think about these two amazing periods of time where the Jewish people were flourishing in unique terms. There was these islands in history and time, and it's not exactly the same. Bias Rishon and bias Sheni were not the same at all in any way, in any fashion at all. So let's dig a little bit deep into this. How were they different? So this is an idea I'd like to develop from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is one of his, you know, hallmark ideas. He has numerous ideas across Shas, across Shulchan Aruch, across the Torah. This idea is something which he keeps referencing himself. It's one of his really a nexus of ideas that he references. A really beautiful, beautiful idea. So he points out, let's take a quick look at the Bais Sheni. Let's see how flourishing it was, how unique it was. Let's take a quick look at the source 3. This is the very top of the right column. He says, Vanira Boze. He asks these questions on the Ramban. He says, he says, we need to look at the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says in Chof Aleph and Beis, in the very top right, the second Beis Hamikdash, there are five things which are lacking. So you say, five things? Okay, there's everything else. But no, listen to these five things. The first was, they didn't have the Aaron. The Ark of the Covenant was not there. You say, oh no, they couldn't find that. No, there's a mission in Shkalim. And this mission is so famous that in fact a movie is made about this mission. Right, so here we go. Ready? The mission says, there was a coin who was working in the Beis HaMikdash. He saw one tile was a little different to the other tile in the Beis HaMikdash. So he went over to his friend and he says, Johnny, did you? And at that point in time, lo hispik ligmor adavar ad shiyosus anishmosoi. And he died. So v'yadu b'yichud shesham ha'aron nignaz akanashana mishnah. The Mishnah says, you see clearly, there was a reason that it should have been hidden over here. Right, what was the movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? That it was made based on this Mishnah. They obviously understood this when they did this, that we're talking about something which could not be found. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, you see from your very basic thing. They knew where it was, but they didn't take it. Why? That means to say that specifically they were leaving it there, not because they didn't know where it was. Why? Why did not I return it? Wasn't that the centerpiece of the Beis Hamikdash? By the way, what are the other things that were missing? Shechina wasn't there, right? There was no overt miracles. Right? We're talking about some very serious things which were not working in the second Beis Hamikdash. Take a look at the top of the next column. Nira. She'oile Bavel. Shebonu Espais Hasheni. The people returned with Ezra. All 42,000 and then the change and the people who came at different times. Yadu ki loy ze habinyan asher yamod le'olamim. They knew a priori. They knew lachatchila this would not be the Beis Hamikdash which would stand forever. They knew this was not a final redemption. It was made only to help sustain us through the extensive Golus. That's unbelievable. They knew ahead of time, as they were building this, this would not have longevity as they built that second Beis Hamikdash. Alpi Shiras Adin, Hoyuhem Tsrichim Nishoy Bavel Od Zman Ma. Zman Rav. They should have stayed in Bavel for an extended amount of time. Ela Shiras Ashkacha Shekvar Al Achar Shivim Shana Shel Golos Bavel Kvar Nitma Venis Arev Roiv Ha'am Imagoyim. What's the word Nitma mean? That's not with an Aleph. What's the word Nitma mean in this case? They got mixed up. They were now assimilated in Babylonian culture. They were intermarrying into Babylonian faith. To such a degree, after only 70 short years, Uboru Bash Kashemesh Haya, it was incandescently clear to them, Ki im yisakvu b'nei Yisrael b'golos meos v'alfei shanim, if they were to stay there any longer, Sh'oz b'vada lo yatzliach ha'om lishoer b'zehu soy, ha'myuchedes v'shuv lo yeh es mi lig'ol. There will be no one left to redeem. By the way, it sounds very similar to the Egypt parallel over here. It wasn't working. The system of Jewish, we'll call longevity, destiny, was not in effect. It wouldn't have worked. Hashem had mercy on us. He returned us temporarily to the land of Israel. He built a Beis HaBechira, a house, with a chosen house. Oh, very important word. That they should be inoculated. In order to be able to get through the extended Golus afterwards. By the way, so how does that work? Meaning, so how does like an extra booster help us, right? So how exactly does that work? So in the reference, in the footnotes, and he references himself in, or his students writing this down, reference him in Pirkei Avos, a brilliant insight, which is actually to be found in Rav Tzadok HaKohen Resisei Laila. Really remarkable insight. And that is, you'll notice something interesting. When a person in the Bais Rishon, how do they know what Hashem wanted? Let's say you didn't know, you know, you weren't sure if everything was going right, if I should be making this choice, if I shouldn't be making this choice. What did you do? Where did you turn? So you turned to the Navi, like when Shaul HaMelech didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to find the donkeys, right? So what did he do? He went to the Chozer, Asher Yehiyeh Bayamim Mohem. He went to the prophet, and the prophet says, oh, by the way, the donkeys have been found, and no problem. People, whenever they want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, speak to the Navi. That methodology worked to a large degree. There was Avodah Zarah, we understand. There were trials and tribulations. But when people went into Golos, it no longer sustained them. Meaning, when you're now living in Babylon, and there are many fewer prophets. There were prophets in Babylon, right? Daniel? Right, so there were Nevi'im in general. Yechezkel was in Bavel, right? Narukvar is in the north. Right, so we understand there were prophets in Bavel. But there were very few and far in between. It was much harder to be able to know what Hashem wanted. So therefore, when you don't have a system, when we don't have a central system of how to act, and we have to consult the Navi, and there's no longer a Navi, what happens is everything falls apart. So therefore, our system of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer functional. So what happened? Therefore, when Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who were the essentially the body of leadership, as they came back at Bayis Sheni, understood this, on that council was Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, Esther, right? That whole group were on that council. So when they reformulated, they said, look, we know that this wasn't working. So if Judaism did not survive this 70 years of Godness, we need something else. We need to be able to form this in a different way. We need to be able to work in a case where we don't have a Navi to be able to consult us. So what do they do? They started developing one part of Torah which had not been developed up to this point. That's what's called Torah Sheba'al Peh. Not that Torah Sheba'al Peh did not exist up to now. There are different components of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So for instance, when Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai, he received the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And the Torah Sheba'al Peh said, when it talks about a Priyat Sadar, it refers to the Esrog. Nobody says it's a mango. There's no Deos which says it's a banana. Everybody agrees it's an Esrog. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told that on Sinai, right? That was Torah Sheba'al Peh. Another example, when there's ideas which, that's the primary idea of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Then there are other aspects which are called Siyagim and Gezeros, where the Chachamim protected ideas, biblical ideas. There are other ideas where they could expand upon them with the toolbox of, we'll call it, the tools of expansion of the Mikra, like for instance, Rabbi Yishmael's Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar and Nidreshes Bohem. What? Hermeneutical principles. Yeah, I never understood that word. But nonetheless, so we use those principles to expand the Torah. That hadn't been done because they didn't need to. Why? Because whenever they needed to know what Hashem wanted, knock at the door. The Navi was right there. So now what happened was there was an infusion and an explosion of development of Torah Sheba'al Peh into principles, into systems, into the halacha. The Amidah developed now. The Brachos developed now. All the principles which are the framework of our lives started developing at the time of Anshei Keres HaGdolah in order to be able to enable us to have a system upon which we can rely upon, we can reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when we don't have the Navi who's nearby, who's next door. That's what's happening over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this opportunity, this humble opportunity in the Bayis Sheni to be able to do this again, which is why the system we live off today is not a system of Nevuah, it's a system of Halacha and the development of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Very, very brilliant idea which is developed in many different ways. Let's return to Rabbi Yaakov Konesko for a second. By footnote 17, he says, "Bekadei la'adgish la'meichish la'am she'adayin hem la'nigalu v'chi be'etzim adayin hem begalus," and to show that we're still in Galus, we're still Persians, we're not Israelis yet, they specifically left the Aaron in hiding. Mekora kedusha b'bayis rishon mimakom shenignaz v'shiru b'makomoy ki adayin ein hagu'ula shayma. That's why they left the Aaron in its hiding place. Machmach hechrech hakora samzu she'adayin lo yigia l'hagu'ula shayma, that the full redemption had not arrived. Hinigu olei bavel kama v'kama inyanim she'yu oisim k'moy she'yu no'agi b'ktukuv hazagalus. And therefore, to make sure, like you're saying, Shalom, that people were not going to make a mistake this time for being like the Bayis Rishon, they made certain enactments to remember that we're still in Golus. To make sure that we realize this is not forever. That's why we call the months Babylonian names. Not to reference the redemption, but to reference the lack of redemption. That's what else is going on over here. So it's very much a humble. In fact, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, the people who had seen the first Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't so long, the elders had seen it, started crying because they said, look how terrible it looks, look how small it is. The younger people were so happy. We've been asking about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It says that in Sefer Ezra, you couldn't distinguish between the crying of pain and the crying of joy when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. So the Kumash goes to Ramban, Lahazkir, now he puts it into the Ramban, Lahazkir, Kishema Ashamim Amanu Mishamilanu Hashem Yisbarach. Kalomar, what does it mean to say? Kedel Yiskor Shevimes Lo Nigalu Ba'ofen Mushlam. Fantastic. And he said, that's why, by the way, they spoke Aramaic. That's why even the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is written in Israel, is written in Aramaic, to remind us this. This is why the names of many of the Amoraim and the Tanaim are in the Aramaic, to remind us that we ain't yet out of the woods, as much as great as it looks. That's what the reminder.
Tishba was observed during Bayis Sheni.
Tishba was correct. So there's so many reminders as to the fact that we're not yet out. By the way, he goes on to say, not for now inside, but he goes on to say a really remarkable thing. For those who learn Tanakh, and very much highly recommended. You know, we're going to get to Shemayim, and they're going to say, you know, what did you do? And you say, Mishash, Mishnayas, Gemara. And they say, what about Micha and Nachum? You're like, I don't know. So we have to, there's only 24 books. We've got to work it out. So it's interesting. When you read Sefer Yechezkel, Yechezkel talks about, remember, Yechezkel is one of the we'll call frame reference one of Golus. He leaves with Yechoniah, the first round of Golus, where the Beis HaMikdash is still Kayam. He goes to Bavel and he starts prophesizing in Bavel as a contemporary of Yirmiyahu. But his prophecy is primarily to the Bnei Gola, and also he's sending in letters to Israel. So he's at this point in time, he witnesses the destruction from outside. And he gives this view of redemption. He gives eight prakim where he talks about the future Beis HaMikdash. And the dimensions, the karbonos, everything is very different to anything we've ever seen, what this Beis HaMikdash is going to look like. And it's clear, as the Mefarshim point out, this is referring to The Bais Shlishi. What's strange is that afterwards, when Haggai and Zechariah Melachim, specifically Haggai, comes back to the land of Israel in what we call the Second Commonwealth, the Binyan Bais Sheni, when he talks about building the Beis Hamikdash, he's talking about a Beis Hamikdash which is not Yechezkel's. But he had Yechezkel, meaning he had the book of Yechezkel. Haggai knew Yechezkel's prophecy. He lived after him. So why is it that when he's asking to build the Beis Hamikdash, he doesn't just go for, you know, for it. He doesn't go for the Bais Shlishi. He starts talking about building this Bais Sheni. Why, if he knew what Yechezkel said, is he not doing this? That's what the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says. They knew originally that this wasn't going to be it. They weren't able to get there. This was the destination, but this was the waypoint by Sheni. Yes?
Two questions. One is, when does that leave Hanukkah? But that's another point.
Yes, so he actually references it. He said that's why Hanukkah was incomplete, because it could never have been really a success.
Number two, though, it says, Yirmiyahu Shon Halim. He's saying he's not...
Good, so but you'll notice something interesting. He says, Me'eretz Tzafon. That's why, that's an oblique reference. Does he mean Bavel? Maybe yes, maybe he meant, and to the people who lived then it was, yes. But is that what, is he referring to the ultimate redemption? Maybe not. You're right, but it's not incandescently clear that he's saying that leaving Bavel was it. It could mean to say that was part of the Nevuah, was referring to the leaving of Bavel. But in the future, we'll all be coming from the north, and there's a lot of north, if you think about it. Think about the Jews of Russia, think about A lot of in the north coming down to Israel. Let's move on to a few other just brief ideas, very different ideas, okay? Just to appreciate Nissan in context and in very, very different ways. Here we go. So the next one is Yechiel Michael Epstein, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is just the most sophisticated halachic compendium on all of Shulchan Aruch. What he does is, in so many different ways, is he not only gives you the bottom line of halacha, he gives you the development of halacha from the Gemara to the Rishonim to the Achronim. He gives you psak centered in European minhagim. Remarkable to learn the Aruch HaShulchan, and sometimes he even gives you context before that. So before he starts learning Hilchos Pesach, we're within Shloshim Yam, we're within 2 weeks. I tremble to say that. We're within two weeks of Pesach. Next week, God willing, we're going to do the Haggadah Shir. But nonetheless, these first or the second halacha in Hilchos Pesach, he says the following. He addresses specifically this issue. This is halachic safe, but nonetheless, he goes out of his way to give us a little bit of sense of things. V'lama in source 4. V'lama nivchar ha-chodesh hazeh. Why was this month chosen? Mivnesha mitzrim avdu litzleh. Shiroi shamazolos ba'afudas ha-agula. What does that mean? Say what's Afura Sa'agula?
Zodiac,
right. So just by the way, when you go to the planetarium next, so there are many, many, many star signs. I'm trying to remember the specific number in the northern hemisphere, how many there are. But the ones that everybody knows, of course, are the zodiac, because that's a belt of them through which the sun and the moon are seen at different times during the month. So the way we reference these different horoscopes or zodiac is where the moon is for this particular month, where through which star sign is it seen. There's many, many, many others, right? So he says that they would serve not just the physical lamb, but they would serve also, what's his other name?
Aries.
There we go. Right, so they would serve Aries, would be their star sign of power. Okay, before he got the fancy Latin name, right? They were still serving him. So it's V'lachein, Af ki b'makas barad nishbar liboy hazonah. We know that in the plague of Barad, at the end of Parshas Va'era, then at this point in time, you know, Pharaoh gets onto his knees. He is all broken. He is humbled. Ad shomar Hashem atzadik vaniyam the harshaim. I'm bad. They are good. You're good. Mikomakom achakach b'makas v'arbe herim rosha kirichsiv vayigaresh hasan. Then suddenly Arbe comes along, and Paro boots him from the palace. What happened, Pharaoh? Didn't you just say we have a recording of you? Denies it. You said on your own Twitter account. How did that happen? It says uvamakas choshech yotza bechutzba gedola ad shomar lemosh rabenu al toisef rois ponai. He says, in fact, you don't see me again, otherwise on that day I'll kill you. We know that, by the way, how long did it take each plague to be enacted? About a month. There was a week of warning, a week of the plague, a week of the tshuva, right? There's a whole stage. So every month was a different plague. So now, coming to the seventh, into the eighth one, so where is he? He's standing around, you know, Teves Shvat, so he knows that Nisan is coming. And he says, you know what? The reason why we've been weak up till now is because we aren't in Egyptian territory in the sky. So when we get to Aries, we're going to be, now the showdown will come. So what does Moshe Hashem say? Well, Pharaoh, I've got a little bit of a surprise for you. Because you know what? You're waiting for this month. Oh yes, let's see what happens. It's your first month, B'nai Yisrael. It's going to be your place of power. It'll be clear that you have no power in the heavens, O Pharaoh. And there is no other power. There's no way to get around it. That's why it's the first month. Think about this. When you have a pantheon, how can you disprove a pantheon? It's very hard, right? Meaning to say, Pharaoh has a whole bunch, you know, there's this whole soap opera upstairs, right, of all these different gods. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I've also got a god. So he says, well, join the crew, right? Like, you know, you can do fancy things, look what I can do, right? You're playing with the big boys now, right? We understand who we are. In Egypt, we have a lot of gods. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do? Moshe Rabbeinu has to display that this god, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, is in charge of the rest of them. Right, that all the powers that you see, the Nile, the wind, the rain, the whole business, they're all under him. How do you display that? Because every time you do something, he's just going to say, well, you know, that was the wind god. That was the, you know, the wind brought in the grasshoppers. That was the river god. You struck the river god. Okay, so you're powerful over those ones. But how do you show complete and absolute control? One of the ways you do it is when every single element of creation is subjugated to the all-powerful being. This is the last thing to fall. Right, Aries is the last one to fall. Essentially, what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, you still believe? Maybe the month, maybe the timing. Sorry, I have to. Ain't oid. There's no one else. There's nothing else. There is no power which exists in the world which you can marshal or defend yourself with. That's what's happening over here. That's why perhaps the last plague was the most powerful of all the plagues, because there was no space to hide behind anymore. That's what's happening. And then he goes on, halachically speaking, he says that's why the Mishkan was set up in Nisan. That's why the Beis Hamikdash in the future will be built in Nisan. That's why we don't say Tachanun in Nisan. That's why it is that we don't fast. We can't declare fast in Nisan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says all these halachas reflect the reality that we're talking about over here. Fascinating insight. Brilliant. Brilliant way of looking at things, which shows the absolute control. Every time we think about Nisan, Rishon Hu Lachem, remember that, you know, when you want to peek at those horoscopes in the newspaper, and you're like, you know, a dark figure will meet you today. Understand. Einoid Milvado, right? There's nothing else. Yes. What? And Mazel Yisran. This was proved specifically at this point. And as much as we like to think that, perhaps, when we open up the fortune cookie and everything, no. This is the reminder is, Rishon Hu Lachem Lachot Shea Shana. There is no other place we can turn. Idea number three. Already maybe two and a half. Let's move into the next one. This is such a remarkable idea. So we notice that, by the way, the Jewish year, there are 12 mazalos, there's 12 zodiac months, essentially. And therefore, when we split the year into two, if you can think about it as a sphere, essentially the sphere has two halves to it. We've just passed the one half. So Nisan to Tishrei essentially is one half, one sixth, or one half, which is six of the months. And the other half was what we just passed. It is fascinating to notice in the Jewish calendar that most of the festivals, the biblical festivals, all fall into this half. So once we enter into, most of them fall into this half. Now, so we get into the Nisan, into Shavuos. As we move most of the holidays seem to be falling, the biblical holidays fall into this half of the year. Now, what's fascinating about this is that means to say that there must be some sort of parallelism between each starting of the half. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchov says in the Kedushas Levi, very fascinating thing. Now I have to apologize. This printing, sometimes when you paste Hebrew, what it does is if it's oriented, if it's left justified, what it does is it at commas or at periods, it shifts the sentence. So we're going to be a little bit of puzzling over here. But listen to what he says. Od Yevuar, he says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Yizaklal Ki Lefamim Menaseh HaMelech Medinos Sheloi Imo Avim Osoi V'Avim Osoi Be'emes. Sometimes a king will check if his servants are serving him, if they're really loyal to him. Sometimes you'll see, not if they're respecting him, but if they're respecting his officers, his children. So you see, that was the V'cheinu B'Tishrei refers to, this is a little complicated. In Tishrei is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, are his servants serving him? So he says, "Every kol baye olam avrim lefanav kivnei moron," and he says, "Are you serving me or not?" However, in Nisan Hashem Yisborach dan es olam, and in Nisan he checks the world. Skipping to the next line, im hem oavim es bnei Yisrael. The din in Nisan, the parallel din, is not about whether they love Hashem, but whether they love bnei Yisrael, his children in the world. Therefore, he says, "V'lakach paro she'asar al Yisrael laka kodesh baruch hu asa b'zeh chodesh." Why was Pharaoh punished? Because in this month was the month where he says, "How do you treat my children?" That was the din, which is rendered in Nisan. Very, very interesting point. This is why perhaps so many of the mitzvot center around how we treat each other. You can't have a Korban Pesach, you walk into the Beis Hamikdash. You have to have Sela Ish, Sela Bayis. You have to have it's a Sela Beis Ovos. It's one lamb to the entire family. There has to be Minuyov. There has to be people included in this. It's the redemption of the family. In fact, I just thought, and I was speaking to a friend of mine, Rabbi Blumenthal from Boca, and remarkable thing. If you think about the return of Zachary Baumel, it couldn't have come at a better time in terms of what's going on. You know, every day you're reading the news, and there's more dirt about this politician, more dirt about this politician. This one's lying about that one, and everybody's bad from this one, and the left and the right and the center, and everybody's besmirching everybody else. And then suddenly, what happens is we see this miracle. We see this miracle where we have the return of a person we've been davening for 37 years. In Shul's, there's been a Mishabeirach for the return of his body. We return just before Nisan starts, and suddenly everybody comes together. And everybody from the right to the left, everybody is understanding that this is who we are. We forget about all the trivialities. We forget about all the elections, all the other complications. For a moment, we're recentered. What are we about? This is Nisan. In Nisan, we focus about is not how we love our Kodesh Baruch Hu, how we love each other. It's perhaps this is the reminder of what it means to be Kal Yisrael, what it means to have that the land of Israel requests and begs to have its children returned to her. That's a remarkable idea to see this, and I think it's a reminder to us what's central and what's peripheral in terms of what we stand for. Last and final idea, and perhaps we'll end with this. This is a very strange idea. Let's try to understand what's going on over here. Two sources, and let's see if we can put the two together. Gemara tells us a very famous idea, which does not seem to be related to Pesach in any way. The Gemara tells us in Eruvin, Daf Yud Gimel Beis, Tana Rabbanon Shtei Shonim Umechsa Nechloku Beis Shammah Beis Hillel. There was a machlokes for 2.5 years between Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel, and it was a pretty serious argument. They said, Halalu Oimrim Noach Loi LaAdam Shloi Nivra Yoseh Misha Nivra, Halalu Oimrim Noach Loi LaAdam Shnivra Yoseh Misha Loi Nivra. So they said, there's a machlokes whether it was better for humanity to be created or not be created, meaning if you're to let's take out a spreadsheet, let's work out all the atrocities created by humanity. Let's talk about all the benevolent things they've done. Let's tally the two. We'll put gradations, right? So we'll be fair, right? We'll talk about a grade one atrocity and a grade two atrocity, and we'll match them up with all the benevolent things that humans have done. And what we'll do is we'll do a sum total and see. Comes down to what are the numbers at the bottom of each column? Have humanity contributed enough to exist or not? Right? After all, they're an investment. Has the investment paid its return or not? And that's what we should do. So it's a machlokes. Was it worth it? Look at all the terrible things humans have done. Look at all the great things humans have done. One of the parties says, better not. The other party says, no, look at all the great things they've done. Look at the remarkable things humans have contributed to the world. Nimnu Gomro, they voted. Nivra. Well, the maskona was, better that we should not have been created. Too much risk. Too much risk. Look what humans have done. I mean, look in the Middle East, folks. I mean, look what humans have managed to do with themselves. So, but the truth of the matter is that we are created. We are here. So yafashbesh v'maaso v'amrila yamashbesh v'maaso. So they said, now that we're here, so let's try to make sure that we don't renege on our investments. Let's try to make sure that we're not going to fall into the negative side of the column. We're not going to be in the red. We're going to be in the black. So yafashbesh or yamashbesh v'maaso are two very different ideas of what it means to say is looking at what we should be doing or what we missed out doing. Very important ideas as to why we should be living. So we need to be always thinking about whether we're justifying our existence. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, idea number one. Idea number two is the Shlach HaKodesh. Rav Horowitz, who says in Source 7, this is in Psachim, Perek Ner Mitzvah, in Siman Zayin. He says, and we're going to start from halfway down where it says Aval, where there's a little period, just under the parentheses of Brachos. He says, Aval Derech Remez Nuchal Lomar, Da Pasuk Remez, when we say HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, HaKodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodeshim, Kolomar, HaKodesh Kuloi Hu Rosh Chodeshim. The whole month is a month of heads of months. Ki kol yom v'yom hu k'rosh chodesh. It's as if every day is like Rosh Chodesh. There's no Tachanun, right? Every day is like Rosh Chodesh. Kamoi shekoz vatur siman tavchov tes b'shem meseches soifrim. Dan misanim b'nisan b'bnei she be'echad b'nisan hu kama mishkan. He says maybe, really it is that every day of Nisan is like Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so now what do you do? How do we put these two together? Is there a way to make these two ideas jive? I was once at a rabbinic retreat, and an exercise I was asked to do was we were asked to play Chopped. So we were given a completely random maramakomus, nothing to do with each other, halacha, machshava, musar, and we had to come up in 5 minutes with an idea. We had to come up with an idea which included all of them, all the ingredients. How do we do that? So here we have two ingredients. You have two ideas. You have the Gemara Neiruvin, talking about whether a person should be created or not. We have the idea that this Kabbalistic idea of the Shlach Kodesh, every day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is in fact its own Rosh Chodesh. How do the two go together? So you can only do this if you're the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer, it says the most remarkable thing. I heard this from one of my rabbis, Rabbi Baruch Simon. Just a fascinating insight. Here's how it relates to Nisan. It says in Source 8, Chasam Sofer says, "Achodesh azel achem rosh chodashim, ki yikos v'ashlo, the Shlo HaKodesh says, kol yimei achodesh azel kodashim, ka rosh chodashim. V'inei, chodesh nishtan kula rosh chodesh, asher kol yom kolul mechodesh echad." Therefore, if you're going to say each day is a Rosh Chodesh, therefore essentially the potential in each day of the month is essentially its own month. And therefore it is 30 months essentially. Meaning to say, if you have 30 days and each of them represents its own Rosh Chodesh, then what you're essentially saying is that pregnant in the month of Nisan is 30 months. How much in time is that? 30 months is 12 months in a year, so that's essentially 2.5 years. Did you notice that in the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it gives a time frame for their Machlokes? Why in the world would you need a time frame? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about many things across all ideas in Shas. You never see how long they argued about something for until they voted. Why do we need to know that in that Gemara that they argued for 2.5 years? Why, is that a relevant detail to the Machlokes? He says, Inoach Shnivra, Inoach Shalai Nivra. Right, because the Tosfos Perek Kamidei Ruvin to Tzadikim va'amech kulam Tzadikim bevadai noach shenivra. The Tosfos over there in that Gemara says their machlokes was about average human beings. Average human beings, Tzadikim, righteous people. Of course, they warrant existence. Of course, they warrant being born. Noach lehem v'ledoram, and therefore for their generation as well, they should have been born. Val pizeh, af al pizeh shebetishrei nivra olam. Even though Grada, most of the world is created in, the world is created, brought into existence in Tishrei. Mikomakom, hoya kaloi hoya. It was as if it was sort of in flux. It wasn't necessarily warranting its existence yet. V'noyashala nivra, and perhaps the risks were too high for the outcome. Ach benisan yetzias mitzrayim, oz nivra ha'oila mamash, shenivchur Yisrael, v'noach shenivra. Behind the beishronim mechza, shenechluk beishama beisilal, remez lechodesh nisan. Meaning to say, the Machlokes was pivotal around the chosen nation. Yes, all of creation, well, all of creation has made a lot of boo-boos, right? There's been a lot of bad things, which maybe it is not worth it for humans to exist. But when it comes to Nisan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ameich kulam tzadikim, you know what? I'm going to give you the mandate. Can you be good without the Torah? Can people be good without the Torah? The answer is, absolutely you can. It's just very hard to approximate what God wants if you didn't get the instruction manual. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Nisan, I'm going to take you out. You're going to be my chosen nation. I'm going to give you my mission statement. It comes at the top of Sinai. It comes in two pieces, right? This is going to be the time where you're going to now start understanding what I want from you. At that point in time, Noach Loi Shenivra. Now, yes, we have a mission. We know where we're going. Yes, we have the right to do this. You know, they say that the Klausenberger Rebbe was once approached by a Talmud. The Talmud came to him and he said, Rebbe, I've been kicked out of Yeshiva. So the Klausenberger called in the Mashkiach and he said, what's going on with this young man? So the Mashkiach said, you know, Nebach is, you know, this is time after time after time. This young man is just not shaping up. He's not listening. He's violating the rules. He's a bad influence. So Klausenberger says, you know, but he said to me that he promised that he'd be good again. So the Mashkiach rolled his eyes and he said, you know what? He says he said that to me 1,000 times and he didn't do anything. So Klausenberger says, you know what? I've turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than 1,000 times. And I really haven't lived up to it. But you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a little more slack. He gives me a little bit of space to know that I'm still being able to go. Noach Shnivra, we all have mistakes. We all have problems. And at the end of the day, we know that there's 2.5 years which differentiate regular creation and creation with a mission statement. And that's what Nisan is the moment where we knew that we had a place to go, a destination and a destiny to get to. We should be Shazachim together. Amen.